Sandy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We are a couple of dudes who like to sit around and drink wine and dabble and have some dalliances in the soft and mellow waters of Alex Jones. I don't know what I'm saying.
That was out of control right there. That was wild.
Yeah.
What were you talking about?
I don't know, but it's wild times in the world of Alex Jones. And, so we're here in the middle of the week, coming down, having a chat with you. This is a show where we take a day in the life of Alex Jones and we break it down piece by piece. But
let me ask you a question.
What's up?
How much do you know about Alex Jones?
So much.
Okay. I'm going to be honest with you.
Please be Alex Jones levels of honest with me.
I am 99% sure. Sometimes I make a mistake, but I am 99% sure I know nothing about Alex Jones.
And therein lies the fun of the show. I get to shock and offend you with the words of Alex Jones and not out of context.
Which would have been a much better campaign in Iraq, the shock and offend campaign.
Just go up to
yeah, let's
all
not
these
even
Iraqis.
Bother with awe. Nuh-uh. Let's call their moms gay. Let's do
and then yell at them for being offended by it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
what,
yeah.
You're offended? You're trample on my rights?
Come on, free speech, yeah, cupcake.
So, before we get going...
Go to your safe zone.
Go to your demilitarized intellectual zone.
Yeah.
Gotta start calling it that. Before we get going, we have a couple of thank yous. First, again, I'd like to thank Mike Kaplan for joining me on the last episode. It was super fun to interview him. And this is coming out Wednesday. You can still go see him tonight at Shuba's Tavern here in Chicago if you're in town. Just want to say that again and say thank you again. It was super, super cool. Sorry you couldn't be there, Jordan.
No, you're not. That would have been a weird interview if I was there. I'm not supposed to be there for interviews. If I was there, I'd just interject. Like, he talked, and it was very cogent and interesting.
I still felt weird.
What am I going to do, laughing at him? What?
Could have. Also, I'd like to say thank you to our new friend, David. Thanks for donating to the show. This one's going out to you.
I'm a policy wonk.
That was just for you. Whenever someone donates now, you get
a little policy wonk.
Give them their own policy
wonk.
You
are your own policy wonk.
You are officially a policy wonk, David. Thanks for joining up.
It does not take a lot of work.
And if you guys want to donate, there's a link on knowledgefight.com that says support the show. You can check that out. Or just go to patreon.com/knowledgefight. But there, if you want to donate, please do. If not, you don't have to. Anyway.
Great sales pitch.
Speaking of donations, Alex might need some in the future.
Oh, transition game is still strong.
Still tight. I want to make this statement clear. I said it at the beginning of the last episode, and I stand by it. I really don't think that we have any business talking about his divorce.
I agree.
And I don't like what I'm seeing on Twitter. I don't like what I'm seeing in terms of articles on unnamed websites. I don't like the takes that I'm seeing. I really don't like people dancing in the mud, as it were.
It's weird to see, because the hot take machine of the internet is so ridiculous, where it's like, you fly off as little of your, knowledge as possible. You just, Alex Jones denied Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, that's awful and miserable, but oh my God, he's done so much more.
He's
so much more of a monster.
It's like if you have a band that you know a lot about and like people only know their greatest hits.
Right.
But it's
like Chicago.
But
it's like the band Chicago.
No, but it's the reverse.
Oh, it's the reverse of the band Chicago.
You only know their worst songs. So all these people out there, they know Alex Jones' worst hits. Whereas like he has a deep catalog, guys. You should really get into some of the album cuts, the B-sides.
Oh, yeah.
There's not just You're the Inspiration. It's not just Saturdays in the Park.
Oh,
these
boy.
Are Chicago songs.
Oh, boy.
It's not just 25 or 6 to 4.
Oh, God.
That's a great song.
I didn't know you knew so much about Chicago.
I know those three songs.
Every time we find out more about your music taste, it's just getting weirder.
Listen,
and weirder.
There's more to life than just does anybody really know what time it is? It's another great Chicago song. Anyway, I really, really, really want to encourage people to stop paying so much attention to the divorce stuff. Because a lot of it is his business.
Yep.
And a lot of it is not really necessarily real. in our world. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I don't.
Okay, well,
I would like to know more.
A lot of it is personal.
I mean, actually, I do, but please explain it to the listeners.
A lot of it is personal. We don't really know the dynamics that are going on in his household. We don't know anything about his ex-wife. We don't know anything about that world.
Mm-mm.
And
we've studiously tried to avoid it.
Yeah, and because it isn't our business. And right. It would be tasteless of us to delve into that. Now, the reason that everybody's interested and the reason that things became immediately interesting to people about this was his lawyer said that he's playing a character.
Yes.
And that was the defense that they used or were intending to use in the trial. And the reason that this isn't even interesting, really, is that he makes that claim across the board on his own show.
Uh-huh.
Whenever he wants to dodge responsibility for something, as in the case when he screamed about beating up Adam Schiff, he said that his rants were performance art.
Or they're jokes. Right. He said he was joking about so many other different things like, I was just, you know, everybody else was doing it, so I made a joke about it and that whole thing.
He does that all the time.
And if you are talking about his listeners, like, you're not actually engaging with why it is they listen to Alex Jones. They do not care.
Nope, probably
they
not.
They don't care.
No, you're never...
And if he says he's a performance artist, that to them is as much a wink as it is a... It's not an admission of guilt or that he doesn't believe in what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's just him being like, hey, guys, I'm a performance artist to get my kids. Like, that kind of
at
a thing.
At best, it's that. Yeah. At worst, the audience would believe the globalists are trying to torpedo his family. And he's just doing what he's got to do.
Of course.
And sometimes that means you have to lie to protect your family.
Yeah, and of course. And the timing of this could not be more perfect for everybody
perfect.
To... Yeah.
It's
especially if you are a globalist. Let's say you're a globalist. Now is when you strike.
Mm-hmm.
That's the trick. You know, Alex Jones, he was nothing. He was nothing to the globalists for a long time. He was just a thorn in their side. I mean, now that he has some power... That's when you back his ex-wife? I don't know. I don't know what's going on there.
I don't either. And that argument falls apart because the divorce has been going
on. An argument about the globalists being real fell apart?
Yeah.
Shocker.
It especially falls apart because the divorce has been going on since 2013. But look, there's a lot of salacious, fun stuff that you could make fun of. But we choose not to do that. We choose not to engage in that because we sincerely believe that taking Alex based entirely on his words and researching his words is a much, much more scathing attack. And it's something that he can't deflect from.
And hopefully something that if his listeners were to actually engage with us, they would, like, there wouldn't be an argument back. There wouldn't be something that they could say. They might actually be like, oh, that
maybe
does make sense.
It depends on how deep cognitive dissonance goes. But
I mean, I'm not saying a lot of them would do
one
that.
One or two.
Yeah. I'm saying we could siphon off one or two Alex Jones listeners.
Listen, I'm not Captain Save-A-Ho over here. That's not where I'm at. That's not my business. I'm not trying to necessarily convert his flock as much as I am trying to... I don't know. What are we doing?
That is a good fucking question.
Is the goal to convert Alex Jones listeners or is it to, like, I guess make a time capsule? I don't know what we're doing.
I think we're establishing our eventual multi-million-dollar book deal with Simon & Schuster.
Bingo.
Where we we review the 2016 election through the eyes of Alex Jones.
That might be what we're doing. Anyway.
Either that or we're just masturbating into the void.
That's way more likely.
That's probably the best way to go.
So you touched on it, and that's a subject that will be what this episode is. This is episode part two in a indefinitely long series that I would like to call How Not to Cover Alex Jones. When you do stuff like the obsessing about him, or it wasn't even him, it was his lawyer, saying that he's playing a character.
Right.
When you obsess over stuff like that, and you clown on him real hard like Media Matters has, and all these websites, these pop culture websites, all these people on Twitter, when you obsess about this stuff that comes out in his divorce, all you're doing is playing into his hands. My evidence for that is the episode we're going to be listening to today. It is from Monday.
Your evidence could just as easily be Trump.
Sure.
Like, did all of our relentless mocking take him down? No, it only made him stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently the I'm rubber, you're glue, fucking works.
The neener neener defense?
Yeah.
So this
you're
is,
just mad because you lost.
This is an episode from April 17th. It is a special report that he put out in the evening. And I will say, I think it was unadvised of him. I think his lawyers probably should have stopped him from recording this, because I think he touches on some stuff that may come up in court. And hey, look, I don't care about like respecting his personal life. When he brings stuff up, that's the line for me.
That's a good point.
I will dance he's around the in one, his personal life when he says it.
He's the one put, well, and we're putting together a slow but sure biography of him.
Of course, and there is a new entry in this episode, which get
Ooh,
excited for that.
I am.
But when you
does he kill another dog? Christ.
Nope.
That monster.
Nope. When you attack
that should be in his fucking trial. He said he murdered a dog.
But that's
put that in his trial. That is Jordan, one step away from murdering all four of your children.
Jordan, that's hearsay.
It's him say.
He didn't.
All right, that's
didn't,
my favorite thing I've ever said right there. Him say. That's perfect.
That's him say.
Yeah. That's her say. What do you want?
The reason it's hearsay is because he doesn't actually say he killed a dog. He's just saying you kind of sometimes have to kill a dog. It's
all right. How about the time he put a guy in a coma and knocked all of his teeth out?
Oh yeah, that's bad. That should be in the trial.
That should be in there.
It definitely shows a temper, but he is talking about when he was younger, and who cares? Look, we're not here to plan a prosecution.
Maybe that is what we're here to do.
So this episode, all I've done, he put out a 23-minute video. All I've done is cut out like a couple gaps here and there, and a couple plugs. So a couple times he says Infowars.com,
yeah.
Paul Joseph Watson's going to be hosting, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah,
I've cut
yeah.
that out. I've cut out nothing of substance.
30% off of whatever there's 30% off of.
Easter sale still going on as
we
record this.
I knew he was going to get that in there.
But this is what happens when you don't actually engage with Alex on his level, what he's talking about. This is the sort of thing that he can do to spin his way out and still keep his cult intact. Ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Here's the introduction.
You see that headline? Google says rogue vendor violated guidelines by instructing contractors to rate InfoWars as untrustworthy site. That's Business Insider. Google responded. Less than 24 hours after this broke on Mike Cernovich's website and also on ours. Ladies and gentlemen, all we do is break cutting edge inside intel from our amazing sources, leakers, and patriots.
So that's the first clip. He shows a video opens with him holding up his cell phone, and it shows this Business Insider article.
Great.
That he believes.
That is riveting television.
Indeed.
A man holding up his phone, pointing to an article you cannot read.
Nope.
With just the headline, I'm sure.
Totally. And you can't even read the headline in the video.
No, why would you need to?
But this.
He's holding up his phone. You can trust him.
This is a continuation of a narrative that got started a little bit before this. I believe like on the Sunday episode of the show with Mike Cernovich. Mike Cernovich was discussed on our last episode. He is stuck around Austin.
Great.
Because
he's a giant pile of shit that needs to fall into each and every fucking crevice of your shoe as you walk by him.
No.
No, is it for a different reason?
It's for a different reason.
Oh, okay.
It's because he's broken a huge story.
Okay.
And that is that Google is trying to censor and delist InfoWars from their search engines.
Really?
No.
Okay.
But that's his story.
All right.
That's his story.
That would be an interesting story. And at this point, it is, I could kind of believe it. Like, based on all the stuff we've talked about, I'm not saying that that could happen or would happen because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I could almost see that being the case.
Well, one thing that is important to consider, and this is just Google policy. This is company policy. If a site is being delisted, they have to give a formal letter to that company. So if Alex Jones was legitimately being delisted, he would have evidentiary proof. He would have that letter from Google. So
right.
That's not happening.
So it's it's entirely impossible unless he pulls out the letter.
Now, keep in mind, all he does at InfoWars is break massive stories that are truthful. By his own words, right there. That's what he said. This story is bogus as fuck.
Right.
So, do you want to know the truth?
Or
should we wait until this develops a little more?
I don't need to know the nuts and bolts. I want to see where he's going to go.
All right, that's a good point.
Because
Google has admitted, though, that they are hiring or have hired, 10,000 people to go around delisting stuff on the internet they say is fake news or spam. That's the big story. InfoWars is not the story. If they can censor you, they can censor me. What should be prominent is what you upvote, what actually gets the best ratings, what people promote. If there's fake bots, fake spam, fake view counts, absolutely, Google has a right to block those.
So they should block InfoWars then?
Huh. Maybe. Maybe. I mean, they do have a lot of artificial traffic.
They sure do.
They, him and Paul Joseph Watson both have outrageously high numbers of fake Twitter followers. Based on, Twitter audits that have been done.
Uh-huh.
So, look, I don't know. That argument isn't going to do it for me. Like, his own argument for why something should be censored, that's not enough for me.
Of course not.
But let's,
Have they hired 10,000 people?
I don't know. Why don't we let him hang himself a little more before we get to the facts? That was your plan. Let's do it.
Okay. All right.
Hold on to that 10,000 number,
I just want to know numbers.
All right.
But ladies and gentlemen, high-level Google administrators.
How does he know?
Told
everybody
our
in the
sources,
highest
and Cernovich showed me the sources, all of it. He trusts me, so I was able to see the whole data trail. You name it, one of his sources for at least multiple years. Cernovich is great because he just works his contacts. He's a real journalist. He's amazing.
Ugh.
He's helped InfoWars so much with the stuff he's been doing. So we're just so proud of the work he's doing, breaking the Susan Rice news. And
the Susan Rice news was a bogus story, also.
Yep,
that was complete bullshit. Also, another fun news story that Mike Cernovich broke over the weekend was he went to one of these the tax protests because he was in Austin.
Right.
So he didn't have to be in Berkeley where he might get his ass
kicked. Correct.
He was in Austin at the tax protest. He was counter-protesting, as it were. And he had he put out a video of him with his cell phone on himself doing like a selfie Periscope video. And he's like, they're attacking me. And there's a bunch of people, like you can see behind him. There's another guy who caught another angle of the video.
As far away as humanly possible. He's like across the street, isn't he?
No, it's just like a couple people who are like, come on. They're just sort of moving him out of the way. And he's walking in front of them while they escort him out of the protest
just
area.
Just shooing him with a broom.
And it's so funny.
Get on out of here, little boy.
It's so funny to see the long view of him acting like he's in the middle of a huge crowd that's beating him up or trying to assault him. It's just a couple people who are like, come on, man. And not even really pushing him. And he's just like, he is the worst.
He was doing everything possible to try and incite something there.
Yeah, of course
he was.
And knowing that it probably wouldn't happen, he was doing things to rig the appearances to make it look like he was being oppressed. They don't want my free speech.
They don't.
Of course not. I want him.
Nobody's arresting him though.
I want him to have free speech. If I were there, I wouldn't want him there.
Yeah.
Do that over there.
That's literally every possible situation where Mike Cernovich is there.
Yeah.
Even if he's there, I don't want him there. Wherever he is.
Anyway, he broke the Susan Rice story. Huge, according to Alex. Not huge, according
truthful.
To the world. Well, it is truthful, but the context of it is completely meaningless.
Yeah.
She was the national security advisor.
All right, so we do have a confirmation that he did tell the truth.
No.
So we got one on the board from Mike Cernovich.
I don't agree with that. He said some truths and then lied about the interpretation of them, which makes it a lie.
Yeah, or maybe he's just an idiot.
Well, no, because I could say, hey, you're wearing a green-blue hoodie. And that means that you are a coward. I don't know. My brain wasn't doing good with coming up with ideas. My point is that the color of your hoodie is true, but my interpretation of it is wrong, and therefore it's all kind of...
Unless I actually am a coward.
But it would still have nothing to do with your hoodie. Okay, fine.
That's actually how cowards signal each other.
Listen, I don't want
to... We need to communicate some way, but we're too afraid to say so.
I don't want to get into your coward handkerchief game.
Yeah, no.
But
we're like the... We're the coward boys, really, is what we are.
Mm. Listen, the point... the point is... That Mike Cernovich is not telling the truth in this case.
Of course not.
He's not telling the case in Google, but let's finish up this clip and then I'll explain.
With us and others breaking the big news about the troop buildup, they were trying to con Trump in a larger war in Syria. And I mean, just on so many fronts, Cernovich is on target. That's why Donald Jr. says he deserves a Pulitzer Prize. He does. Not these other fake journalists that are running around. Oh, but last night we posted it like 11 o'clock at night. After hours of research over all the emails and documents and whole manuals on how to censor, we only published 3 pages of it. Because we're not trying to even screw these companies over. They're the ones screwing us over.
So, now it's time to get into what's actually going on.
Why did they only post 3 pages? They went through thousands of documents.
Uh-huh.
And at 11 o'clock, after a long work day of just combing through... These high-level Google documents.
Right.
Which I assume they sent them a link to a Google Doc.
No, they were secretly given to Mike Cernovich. They weren't.
Why would you secretly give anything to Mike Cernovich?
They're public documents.
You could just give them to Mike Cernovich.
They're public documents.
Well, yeah.
I found them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you they've been delisted from Google. They don't know how to Google things anymore, and you can't Bing it.
They haven't been delisted from Google.
Yeah, but you don't know that. You haven't searched InfoWars.
I have.
What's the first thing that comes up?
InfoWars.
That seems very obvious.
I heard there's like 300.
You should have known that.
What is this? Okay, I have the actual number here. They have 341,000 pages on InfoWars listed on Google.
Right.
So that's
341,000 results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but if you search within the site infowars.com.
Oh.
So if you go into Google and you put into the Google search bar site:infowars.com, you get 341,000 results.
How did you learn about that? Did you get some high-level sources who taught you how to Google properly?
I just know how to Google.
Oh, I don't know.
So
I don't know if you do.
So now this 10th...
You must have some inside information.
Do you know how Google works?
That is a good question.
It's not magical robots. Their algorithms work because they have these 10,000 contractors that they hire.
Uh-huh.
And their job is to do searches all day and evaluate the results.
Oof.
So you search for certain terms, and then there is a like 160-page guideline manual that teaches you how to evaluate the results that you get. And one of the things that they are, you know, they're...
That seems too long. 160 pages?
But that's
single spaced?
That's what Alex is talking about. He's like, this, the 100
pages.
Oh,
they combed through 160 pages.
And they've found a couple pages that kind of look bad for them. That's basically what's happened.
Oh,
and
okay.
They're treating it like some big leak that's come from a secret source. It's not. It's Google's manual for how they, you know, try and weed out shit. Cause if you're searching for something, you don't want to get a site that has tons of pop-ups on it.
Right.
You don't want to get a site that redirects you somewhere where you're not supposed to be.
No.
You don't want to click on a link that takes you somewhere that doesn't have any information on it.
Yeah, like, you might fucking wind up at InfoWars.
Exactly.
There we go.
This whole thing, this entire manual, is essentially a training manual that goes to explain basically... their guidelines, they go down to, basically, does this person have expertise? Is this accurate? And is this, I can't remember what the third.
So their whole job is to make sure that you and I never actually go to the second page of Google.
Yeah.
At the end of a search, if you go to the second page of Google, their algorithm probably didn't work.
Or you've not made the question specific
enough. Yeah.
Whatever you're looking for, you didn't phrase right.
Right. Their job is to make you lazy.
Right. And it's to,
or at least facilitate your already ingrown laziness.
Or, and as time goes on, things become less relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of the examples.
And pages die and they're, you know, that whole thing.
Sure. And one of the examples I saw here was that, like,
which reminds me, I really gotta stop paying for the URL on my Angel Fire page.
Yeah, you probably should.
I gotta let that one go.
Your Zenga. So one of the examples I found here of something that was considered like low quality, by their standards was a TMZ article about Britney Spears filing for divorce. And the reason is because the person searched for Britney Spears specifically and that page popped up.
Oh, that's and she doesn't want to know about.
No, it's because that's years and years old.
Or
it's
he.
Not.
It can be either gender who's searching for Britney Spears.
Right, that was sexist of you.
That is, yes. But I apologize.
You understand this search result isn't relevant nowadays to someone just searching for Britney Spears, so it's considered low, and ideally it'll go down the algorithm. So
it won't
pop up as immediately when you search for just Britney Spears.
Right.
That's not trying to delist TMZ, as it were. It's not trying to censor them at all. It's just considering what are you searching for. You want to make sure that you get to that.
Yes, it's trying to suss out your goals.
Yes. Now it gets a little bit complicated.
What?
So
10,000 people all working on the same thing might get a little complicated with a 160-page guideline which they're trying to follow.
Yes.
Okay.
So
I assumed it would be simple.
Like
the one-page manual is just like, guys, you know what you're looking for. Just fucking.
There was a screenshot that was that's posted on Cernovich's website and InfoWars reposted that was using InfoWars as an example of something that would get a low score.
Okay.
This was not from Google's own, main document. It was from one of the businesses that some of these 10,000 people work for because they subcontract these things out.
Okay.
So this person was using InfoWars as an example of that.
Right.
This would be low on the scale.
Right. But like a PowerPoint presentation to your training staff. Like,
essentially.
Here's how we would.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And the reasons that are given, is that the reputation of InfoWars has been that they are overall controversial and often their claims are debunked, which is fair.
Yeah.
We've illustrated this over and over again.
Sure.
But here's a quote from this write-up about the situation. Despite this, the example did not suggest that the page, InfoWars, be given the lowest possible score. In fact, it explained why this should not happen. It even defended the reason why that particular page would be useful to some Google searchers. And this is from the document.
Yes.
Simply presenting an unorthodox perspective on the news doesn't exactly qualify, even if it may be harmful in the larger, more elliptical sense of the term. You could say that we're being generous with the upper range here, but the site may be considered useful to some users looking for an alternative source of information, and it redeems it in some way.
Okay, so what that translates to is, just because it's controversial and probably not useful.
And it's coming from a thoroughly debunked, generally debunked site.
Isn't enough to delist it or to drop it as low as possible.
Yes.
What you should do is, if you're searching for just like, what happened today,
mm-hmm.
InfoWars should not be on the top of the list.
Right, right.
It should be like CNN and the New York Times and,
Or if a site, Like a site that has...
Those are the only two news agencies that I could reference off the top of my head, which is not good, because I don't read either of them.
If a site has, unnavigatable pop-ups and shit, that's what should be at the lowest.
Yes.
And then you have shades of the rest of it. Now...
50 Shades of Lie.
Alex claims that these 10,000 people were told to censor and delist InfoWars, and that is just absolutely not true.
Mm.
They're just... You know, they were used as an example of something that was low quality.
Right.
Which is fair.
Now, do we have the recordings of those conversations, though? So they put up the training montage there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But say they turn the recording off. I assume all training sessions are recorded like the Nixon White House tapes.
Mm-hmm.
They turn it off. And then the trainer goes, listen, this is off the record. D-list.
InfoWars.
D-list InfoWars. Because those fucks... is bullshit.
No, I don't think that happened.
Yeah.
But the thing... So here's where it gets even more complicated.
Okay.
The example that they used in this sort of guideline that was using InfoWars as an example of a low-quality information source.
Mm-hmm.
They used a screenshot of an InfoWars article about Assad reporting that the gas attack was fake.
Okay.
So now Alex gets really pissed about this later because he's like, they're saying we don't have legitimate sources.
You don't.
Ron Paul was on RT saying it. Putin said it. Assad said it. This
credible sources.
This
with no skin in the game whatsoever.
This former UK ambassador who has a history of supporting Assad throughout really murky times that we discussed on a past episode.
Yeah.
These are his sources, and he doesn't. I think he knows, but he's not willing to engage with the idea that like these are bad sources in terms of this. These are bad sources. Like,
or
Putin is.
They're the only sources who would know. Because they're the ones who,
well, look,
would have planned it.
The story is that Assad gassed his own people.
Yeah.
So Alex's story is no, he didn't.
Mm.
And now you're gonna get Assad's take on it. Like, I know every time someone's accused of murder, they don't say they did it.
Not every time.
Pretty much.
A lot of the time.
Well, yeah. Okay. Fine. Some terrorist organizations take responsibility for their actions.
Well, I mean, you got serial killers. You got Jeffrey Dahmer. He ate people.
But did he plead guilty immediately?
No, but he took a shit and everybody knew.
Right. So
that was the dumbest thing I've ever said.
Here's my fun
theory about Assad. Like, how great would it be if he didn't do it? But he knows nobody would ever believe him. Like, what a bummer for him if he's finally, like, the one time he's not the most evil son of a bitch murdering cocksucker, all of the sudden he's like, fuck!
The boy who cried, I didn't do it.
I didn't do it this time! Why won't anyone believe me?
Sure.
And then he gasses people just to get over it, you know? I assume that's how he deals with his stress.
I wouldn't be surprised. So, that was their example. And again, even within that example, it wasn't saying delist or censor them at all.
Lower them on the...
Which is, I mean, it's unfortunate. You shouldn't use Alex Jones as an example of something that would get a low rating because you know he's exactly the type of person who's going to turn that into a huge fucking deal. Use another example.
Yeah.
That's what I would have advised.
Looking back, I was a misstep.
That's what I would have advised these vendors to do.
Could have used any number of examples, like The Spectator
Drudge,
yeah.
Alex Jones,
yeah.
And, I don't know, Cernovich. Stay away from those guys and you're fine. They're the ones who are going to get really mad.
At least in regards to your training manual.
Mm-hmm. So here's where it gets extra murky. What Alex Jones is responding to on this episode that we're listening to is that Google put out a statement explaining that they didn't make that manual, the second manual that has InfoWars used as an example.
See, and they should have just ignored it. They should have just ignored it.
Absolutely.
It would have gone away.
Absolutely.
You didn't need to say anything.
But they addressed it and they're like, hey, look, they weren't telling anybody to censor anything, but they did use them as an example, and I understand how this could come off, so we've asked that to be removed and we're going to take care of it. So that's what Google has No, I mean, you're making a scrunchy face, but I get where they're coming from, too. It's like, all right, let's just fucking squash this. And they did, but Alex, of course, just got to...
Yeah, you just don't engage with him.
Says the guy who's the co-host of an Alex Jones podcast.
No, I mean, in that kind of, like, offhand, throwaway way, because just the fact that they're responding to him, like, look, we're at best, if he's coming after us, he's punching down. At least for now.
Right.
And probably forever.
Probably.
But at least for now. Google gets to be a giant corporation that you can really rail against because there's no way InfoWars subscribers and listeners really think that Google isn't part of the globalists.
That's true.
They have to think that Google is. So the very fact that Google is responding to them means like, oh, they know we're powerful. They know we have something on them. They know they're caught this time.
Alex is going to get to that. But You're starting to be able to predict his behaviors, but
this could be the end of the podcast.
There's two things. One, I think that Google probably doesn't understand his listeners as well as we do. Secondarily,
frankly, I don't even think his listeners understand his listeners as well as we do. At
maybe
this
not.
Point.
But then the second thing is, I think that they're doing exactly what I would do in their position, which is be like, hey, you know what? We didn't make that. Fair enough. Let's try and clean up our mess a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these were these subcontractors who did this. Whatever. Yeah. I don't think they even apologized, but they were like,
why would you? There's nothing to apologize for.
Absolutely not. Yeah. And they're not being delisted. They're not being censored. It's all another Susan Rice story that Mike Cernovich has broken. It's all non-fact presented as conspiracy against them to highlight victim status, which is what he's going to do with the divorce stuff. Once he's not under a gag order.
He is the victim, which is the only real bullet that the conservative movement has, is that they're always the ones under attack. That's always their argument when it always comes back to it, which is why they can't actually do anything like now that they're in power, they can't actually govern in any kind of reasonable way. 'Cause what do you do? Like, you're always the victim. Now you're the one who's victimizing other people. Mm-hmm. So you can't play that card. And whenever everybody starts fucking up, now the GOP is complaining that they're the victim against the GOP. Like, they just don't have any other playbook.
Well, they have to find the more conservative, like the Freedom Caucus has to become the ones who are being victimized.
Yeah, they're
by the
ones being victimized by the mainstream Republicans.
Or Bannon's
if you
being
guys
victimized by Priebus.
Always, yeah. Always. Yeah. Sooner or later, there's going to be the infighting whenever everybody has to claim to be the victim.
My man, it's already happening.
Which boggles my mind, considering the fact that their other argument is that everybody else is playing the victim.
Yeah. Now, we're going to move on. I think that we've fairly decently addressed this Google thing. I'll post links.
It's bullshit.
I'll post links to stuff on the on knowledgefight.com. You can find some resources on that explain really what's going on. It is bullshit. But now we're going to get into the part where Alex goes on from this main point. He's going to come back to it a bunch. And just remember, whenever he does, it's horseshit. But this clip and the next couple clips or where he says some stuff that he shouldn't have said on the air.
And then the news is like, oh, Alex is full of crap. He says Google is censoring him for linking to news articles about Syria being a false flag with a chemical attack. And then it was all admitted today.
Yep.
But the media attack on us only intensifies from there. I mean, it is just getting so crazy. So understand this. InfoWars has been chosen as the beta test to be incrementally basically shut down. And that's why they take things I've said out of context. That's why they take satire engaging out of context.
Bullshit.
Things that are clearly parodies.
No, they're not.
And then they put them out, and then I come out and say, that's satire or a parody. I'm acting there. And they go,
that's true.
Everything you do is an act. Again, targeting low information readers on the internet and watchers.
So this is.
Wait, he should not have said that.
No.
Because he just then admitted that it's not all an act.
Yeah. That's why he shouldn't be saying this on the air.
He shouldn't be saying this on the air at all.
No. Not during this trial.
No.
Especially when he's under a gag order.
Yeah.
He actually did get in trouble in court on Tuesday because he made a video like this. I don't know if it's this video specifically, but he's not supposed to be talking about any of this stuff.
No.
Technically,
he's not addressing it directly, but he is basically addressing the fact that he said he was an act.
Yes.
Or at least his lawyer said that he was an act. And then he's claiming that they're saying that he's an act.
Uh-huh.
And his distinction is that sometimes he's an act.
Well, he's going to fully flesh this out.
Uh-huh.
And he's not. But he's going to attempt to fully flesh this out. And his argument that he's going to lay out is that there are times when he plays characters. Like one time he was in clown makeup, and one time
that's true.
One time he had a lizard mask on and did a character, and he thinks
this is one of the more powerful people in alternative media.
Yep,
the guy who wears a lizard mask.
Sometimes
this is one of the more powerful people in alternative media.
So he's
great.
He makes the argument
we live in a beautiful world.
Those times he's doing parody, but all the other times he's real. So now this is murky because he's tried to use the performance art claim in the past when we've dealt with it.
The Pizzagate thing.
Or with him screaming at Schiff.
Yes.
You know, those sorts of things, which is not what he's talking about now.
No.
He specifically in this episode thinks that everyone who thinks he's playing a role and doing an act, he thinks that they're just talking about the times that he puts on a lizard mask or does a British accent or stuff like that. He is so confused about what people are actually saying about him. It's insane. I could have called almost all of these clips Alex is a lunatic. Because
you could call all of our clips Alex is a lunatic.
So he goes on to say
we could call our podcast Alex is a lunatic.
He in this next clip.
I mean, we'd have to call it Alex Jones is a lunatic. Otherwise, people would never find us.
And we get sued by everyone named Alex.
Yeah, they would just think we were talking about a random Alex.
So this next clip, Alex goes on to say some more stuff about how he is not an actor. And again, this could really hurt him in court.
But that's his defense in court.
It's really going to work against him. I really think that some of this might get played in court because it's overt.
That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
He's a man who can't help but self-destruct.
95% of the time, I'm not doing satire.
All right. Well, that's not good.
When I do satire, I tell you, when I wear a Zor mask and act like I'm a Reptoid or whatever, I don't believe Reptoids are on the planet. But the media picks that up and says, look, Jones wore a lizard mask and believes that the Zortanians or whatever took over. And then I've got to go, no, I was acting as a skit, as a joke. Everybody else does jokes. Presidents do jokes. I was being an actor there. That was satire. I believe in what I'm saying and doing. I believe in the message of liberty. I'm one of the purest people on record out there defending the Republic and not selling out and being attacked everywhere. And there are literally, in the last 2 days, over 1,000 articles. I have Google alerts. So I can't look
totally
at it all,
but believe
it
that.
Tells me over 1,200 articles with the words, Alex Jones admits he's fake, or Alex Jones says he's just an actor and doesn't believe it. I didn't ever said any of that.
Yeah, you did.
No, he didn't.
His lawyer did.
Yeah. And it is an important distinction.
I don't know of any lawyers who are like, here's what I want my client to do. Publicly deny what I said. I don't know a lot of lawyers, admittedly, but I'm fairly certain if you're a lawyer for like, I don't know, let's say you're defending a murderer, right? You don't want to be like, Your Honor, we enter a plea of not guilty.
I did it.
And then have your client go on TV being like, I didn't kill like 5% of those people. 95% of the time, I'm killing.
Yep.
It's just this one time I didn't.
You know what? The only way I can sort of wrap my brain around it is like the strategy, the like sort of legal strategy is muddy the waters. Like make it really so undistanglable. Like make it just a big knot, like your headphones are all wrapped up. You're never going to get those fucking things untangled like this. Like this cord right here.
Yeah, that's done for.
Yeah, there's no way. So yeah, I think that, I mean, that's possible. That's
yeah,
a bad
your,
legal strategy.
Your cord is getting so tangled, you're getting closer and closer to the desk.
I am. It's very uncomfortable. I'm going to have to get a new cord. But anyway, this clip goes on. Again, this is very ill-advised on his
here's
part.
Here's the fun thing that I always love so much is conservatives don't understand that they cannot be funny. They're not funny.
No, they're
never funny. So his idea of like, everybody else does jokes. I know, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
But you're like, what's his fuck? Mike Huckabee is trying to be funny on Twitter and you're like, Jesus, dude. Wow.
Yeah. Cut it out.
Yeah.
Stick to the base.
You know what's really funny? White people are the best. Oh, no, that's not really a joke, is it, Mike Huckabee?
That's tough.
You're terrible.
Yeah, and Alex, you're right. He doesn't understand. This is the problem. He's not funny. He's not really doing satire, but he's totally right about people taking him out of context.
Now, admittedly, if he was at, like, an open mic and went on stage wearing a lizard mask and just saying Alex Jones things and I didn't know it was him, that would be the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
If he was doing like the my mom kicked me off her knee, there's four ways to learn.
So good.
In a lizard mask at an open mic, I'm in.
Yeah, he's hilarious so long as he isn't trying to tell a joke.
To be fair, we've seen him do stand-up in like our third episode.
Yeah, so but he wasn't wearing a lizard mask.
That's a good point.
He wasn't wearing a lizard mask.
Anyway,
I never said a word of that, ladies and gentlemen. What the media does is they take clips of me when I rarely do satire now. They edit it all together and they put
really
it out on the news.
Say that.
Like Stephen Colbert did a few months ago. And I guess I got to finally probably sue. Google's only backing off because I already called law firms and they know it. Cause they know I'll get discovery.
That's not
they
true.
They Googled
I mean,
it.
I said, I'm not anti-gay. I've never been. I don't care what you do in your own bedroom. I'm a frickin' libertarian. And they've got a clip with Colbert. It was on a little TV, a little YouTube clip. So you can't tell it's cut. And it's me going, instead of me saying, I'm not anti-gay, goes, I'm anti-gay. They'll probably take that clip and play it. And people say, I've had employees thrown out of their rent house after that air. A lady shows and goes, I'm a lesbian. I'm gay. Get the hell out of here. You're not on the lease like your roommate. The guy's not even a liberal, but he cares about freedom that works in our office. I call him a classical liberal. You know, all the classic things like freedom and openness and, you know, anti-drug war. It's just so crazy as a real classical liberal. That's what I consider myself.
Alex is a classical liberal.
A classical liberal.
Right. Apparently is the exact same thing as a libertarian because he just said he was that also.
By the definition of lizardable?
He thinks that they're into freedom, openness, and anti-drug war. That's all the criteria that he gave there. That's a classical liberal.
I don't want to say that I'm a Baroque liberal then, but that kind of.
I've met some.
were there movements in classical liberalism?
I've met some liberals that I would not say are very open.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like one of the virtues of liberalism. Hey, you're reserved. Get out of our.
I also like the people who got kicked out of their rent houses, which. I don't know if I've ever called it that before.
Isn't it like Victorian London speak?
Yeah, exactly. Let's call it an apartment.
Maybe a flat.
Yeah. even in his explanation, it's like, oh, I hate InfoWars. You're not on the lease.
Right.
Like your roommate is, which means you shouldn't be there.
That might be more what's going on.
Oh, really?
It might be.
The whole you should be on the, like,
it's fascinating.
You can't sublet your apartment. It's against the law.
It's fascinating how.
I mean, if you don't get your landlord's permission, not, yeah.
Right. It's fascinating though how oftentimes Alex will accidentally tell the truth in the middle of a bullshit sentence.
Yeah, I know.
Like that. I mean, and that's so easy to let slip by. It's like, you gotta get out of here. I hate Alex Jones. You're not on the lease. Well,
it's the 28 in the womb.
Well, it's the same thing with this Google story. You know, it is Google is trying to delist us. They're not. The story that you posted, even the Business Insider story, doesn't
right.
even say that.
And how would they know that you've already called a lawyer?
He hasn't.
Of course not.
He's too busy with his other lawyers.
Well, I mean, in that case, maybe he did call a lawyer.
Maybe he talked to his
lawyer. Because he's already been calling his lawyer a lot.
Talked to his divorce lawyer about suing the biggest company in the world.
They're not quite the biggest.
They're
I believe
there.
Apple is the biggest.
They're
or,
up there,
or
man.
The most profitable or something like that.
My man,
know.
They're up there. Anyway, Alex is not just full of anecdotal stories about people getting kicked out of their homes. He's not just a guy who's going to falsely claim he's a classical liberal. He's also going to tell you a untrue story about someone talking to him on the street.
To sit here and watch all these a-holes lie about me constantly, and then I had a guy on the street today.
Today?
Walk up to me and say, I used to really like you. I listen all the time, and I saw you on the news. You didn't see me. You read some quote saying, it's all fake. You're an actor. You don't mean any of this. I never said any of that. I've said hundreds of times on my own show because people ask me. It's one of the most common asked questions. Why aren't you dead? That's the most common. If you're for real, I'd ask God that. Hell, I don't know. And then the other question is it for real? When I promote freedom or sound money or sovereignty or family or free open market, free market systems or not having wars where we start them or the right to self-defense, of course I believe it. None of my kids are vaccinated.
Yikes.
Oh, you should not be losing. Already lost the custody battle. Done. Why are we even bothering with InfoWars? None of his kids are vaccinated. Take his fucking kids away now and vaccinate them. Maybe give them back to him afterwards, but fucking get your shots. I can't stress how many times I've said this on the podcast. Get your kids their fucking shots, you idiot. It's a public health issue. It's not for you.
Science is still out.
No, it's not. It's not out.
Vaccines are tainted.
Oh, man. Oh, now, I don't say this lightly. One of his kids should get polio.
I don't say this lightly. That guy on the street didn't talk to him.
That guy on the street doesn't exist.
No.
Or...
I used to now, like you, and then yesterday I saw a report that you're fake, and that ruined all the time that I listened. Oh, fuck off. That didn't happen.
Did he hallucinate that?
It's possible.
Because he sounds very sincere in that story. Like, it doesn't sound like he's lying, in the same way that it usually does whenever he lies, where he puts in too many details, like, this guy in a paisley shirt.
Well, he does often give too many details, but you see this with, like, all of his narratives, too. He just flippantly lies and sounds like he believes all the stuff he's saying.
That's true. He is really good at lying.
So anyway, he gets into here, into this next clip. There's some more lies. This clip is super bizarre.
Ooh, I'm excited.
This clip starts with him saying stuff that's obliquely referring to the court case that he shouldn't be saying. He shouldn't be saying any of this stuff. Then he speculates as to why people are attacking InfoWars.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lying. It's all bullshit. Then he transitions into a lie about callers calling into his show.
Uh-huh.
And then he tries to explain satire.
Oh, no. That's a deep water that he... That's like the straw man explanation. He does not understand satire.
The way I would sum it up is satire is fucking hard, man. It's real hard, and it should be left to pros. But anyway, give it a shot, Alex.
And I've dealt in my own personal life with the system coming after me, as you can see everywhere, but I'm not going to talk about my family. I'm going to take the high road and all this. But I've done everything I've said I'd do. I've stood for what I stand for. I'm not left or right. I choose issues on whether they are the right thing to do when I research them. So people will even take the fact that I'm responding to this as some weakness. Because that's the new media thing. They're like, Alex is bona fide. He's real. People believe him. It's spreading. He promotes all these other freedom lovers.
So that's
who is saying that?
Well, that's what he's saying, that's why people attack him. Because he's on the vanguard of the new freedom.
Of the new freedom.
But before that, he was saying that, like, my, you know, all this stuff, I'm under attack about my family. I'm going to take the high road on it. You shouldn't have said shit. You should have said nothing. Even just saying that is going to be a problem.
Alex Jones, you should have said nothing.
Yeah. That should be his biography.
That's the
name of our biography.
Isn't that Mike Birbiglia's joke? What I should have said
was nothing.
Was nothing.
That
what I did say was all the shit my lawyer told me not to.
Yeah.
They can track that most of the modern next wave of patriotic libertarians that are defeating the globalists have been magnified by my show and kind of launch. Kind of like Drudge helped us launch some. We would have launched on our own. Our listeners helped us as well. And, you know, folks, but I mean, Drudge was a big magnifier.
Cucking out his listeners.
Still is. Well, InfoWars has been a big magnifier as well for other people. And they see that. They know we're like an incubation system for other people that want to challenge norms and create new media.
Now, if we take that as an argument, we can look at the people who have come out of InfoWars and gained national prominence, and I can count on zero hands the number of people who have come out of InfoWars and become relevant. Zero hands.
I'm pretty sure I read a New York Times profile of Batman.
And, no, dude, there was that whole documentary about Rainbow Snatch. No, that was on InfoWars.
No, oh, that's shit. Right.
Yeah, fuck. Let's
see.
All the people that he has on who he could make an argument are like
people who give him more credibility than
people like an Anthony Cumia hosting once every 2 weeks or whatever. People like Gavin McGinnis coming on, even Mike Cernovich.
Yeah.
These are guys who have built-in fan groups already. It doesn't mean anything. Rob Dews is zero. Owen Troyer's doing nothing. Paul Joseph Watson has a big fan base, but InfoWars is a anchor around his leg for all intents and purposes. He just makes short attention span propaganda videos that he puts out on his own channel.
Which are horrendous.
Yeah, they're terrible.
He's bad at it.
He is someone who is actually fairly successful in the homegrown stable or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But he lives in London. He's as separate from Alex as he can be while still being involved. David Knight sucks.
David Knight super sucks.
Leanne McAdoo is great, but she doesn't have it.
You fucking are in love with Leanne McAdoo.
She's very beautiful.
You are in love with Leanne McAdoo.
Millie Weaver sucks.
That's what this podcast is really about.
It kind
you
of is.
Just want
yeah.
somehow to get Leanne McAdoo's attention and then bring her over here
love
and replace me with Leanne McAdoo. I know it.
That would be so great. who else we got? Millie Weaver sucks. Ashley Beckford's barely ever around these days.
I never heard that name before.
The people who are not really used to be around aren't around anymore. Jakari Jackson certainly isn't a notable household name. Rambo Joe Biggs, he's not around.
Don't like you saying any of those words.
Mark Dice, not super famous. Not a really big name.
Nope. Unless he's secretly Andrew Dice Clay wearing a mask.
That would be regressed age makeup
yeah.
to an nth degree.
Hey, if Benjamin Button can do it.
John Bowne isn't famous. None of these people are notable. You just have a team of losers. It's
aww,
just no.
That's not a nice way to say that.
But it's fair.
Well, yeah.
If any of them were doing their own thing, they might actually be successful. They might have it in them to do something.
Nah.
But since no, it's possible. I don't know.
It is possible.
I have no idea. I've never
in an infinite universe, yes. In one section of the multiverse, Paul Joseph Watson is the greatest broadcaster of his era.
I sincerely think he probably has way more talent than he's expressing through his propaganda videos.
You think so?
Yeah, probably.
I think
he has a charisma to him.
Probably doesn't.
That's fair. Be that as it may, I'm talking about all the other ding-dongs.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even have a chance to shine. They're not even doing their own unique thing. They're just Alex's seconds.
Uh-huh.
They even say the exact same things that he does. They just, they're puppets, essentially.
And the strangest thing about his argument is that he is essentially a cult leader.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone threatening his consolidation of power would be immediately torn down.
Mm-hmm. That's why Joe Biggs had to get fired.
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least sent to the side for a little bit.
Sent
because they let him back into the fold. After
they put him
was,
in timeout.
Yeah, he was shamed for a little while and then he was brought back in. Anyway, you're about to get to the part where he lies about his callers.
It doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I don't make mistakes. But I'm not trying to. Truth is my North Star. It's my pole star. It's what I want. It's where I'm going.
Nope.
And so all the time I get the call. Any regular listener who's listened for even a week or so, when I take calls, are you for real?
I have listened every day for the last 4 months.
Has anybody said?
Not one.
Not one.
No one has ever asked him that.
Now, he does screen his calls.
Sure.
So it's entirely possible that his screener has heard that, which I would assume is Rob Dew.
But he said that anyone who listens.
In his very boring voice, Rob Dew goes, he's for real. And then relays that information on to Alex.
But he's saying that anyone who listens would know that, you know, this call happens all the time. I listen, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, then definitely not.
Yeah.
And I go, absolutely. 95% of the time, I'm being totally serious. When I do satire, I tell you, I don't do satire much anymore. Because if I dress up like the Joker, we lost probably 50,000 YouTube followers when I did that in a day. I mean, we thought you were a good guy. You've got Joker mask on. You're saying evil stuff. I was being an actor there illustrating an evil clown saying, take your vaccines, kids, and then showing articles where vaccines were killing kids to try to get to people that don't tune into politics but are into the whole evil clown craze. I'm planning a big it thing. I'm just doing it. You know what? I'm going to say, this is acting to illustrate what I really believe. Vaccines are dangerous because they have liability protection. Read the inserts. And then I'm going to hijack the whole it thing, Stephen King. And go, oh, take them, kids. Oh, it's good. People go, do you really mean take them? No, I don't mean take them. And no, I'm not really a clown. But I am good at expressing what I believe, so I put white face on and put my hair back. If I hit the clown, it's going to scare the hell out of people. I'll be scared of the guy in the movie, you know?
He just said that he's acting to express what he really believes.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, what he's saying is that he plays this character as the opposite of what he believes in order to make the point.
What he really believes.
Right. In the case of.
So in his argument that he is a performance artist,
mm-hmm.
He just said that he 5% of the time is acting, and he is only acting to express what he actually believes.
Which is the opposite point of what he's actually making.
He's really bad at this.
So bad.
Now,
but
hold on.
Yes. Just to be crystal clear, he's specifically talking about that time he dressed up like the Joker. He's not abstractly talking about, you know, other times that might have been performance art when he was screaming at some guy or something like that.
Yeah.
He's talking specifically about times he's worn costumes. That's important.
And also, wearing costumes is not satire.
No,
it's That's not how satire works.
But also, it's not a good argument against vaccines to say they have liability protection.
It's a very bad argument
against
vaccines.
Because almost everything does.
Yeah.
Check the inserts, they got liability protection. Well, of course!
Yeah. Well, the reason that your aspirin has a fucking little cover on it is because of the aspirin murderer from way back when. And maybe that was not, maybe that was just a guy.
Yeah.
Or it could have been the actual corporation. Anyways.
Liability protection.
Yeah, of course.
Almost everything is use at your own risk. We're walking away from this. We don't want liability.
How come we haven't had a disclaimer at the beginning of all of our podcasts?
I don't give a shit. We aren't an LLC. What are we doing? I'll stand by my words.
Okay. All right.
Anyway,
all right.
Go ahead. You had a question.
No, I genuinely...
I have time for one question.
There's so many that come in that clip. I didn't know he dressed up as a Joker.
He did. He lost a lot of followers.
How did he lose 50,000 followers because he dressed up as a Joker?
Well, as he said it, we lost a lot of followers. People were like, we thought you were a good guy.
Yeah, I don't... Wait. Does he believe that his listeners are so dumb that were they to see him dress up as the Joker, they would believe he is the Joker?
We're going to get into a clip a little bit later down the road where he wrestles with this a little bit further.
Oh, God.
But I don't think I think he's disappointed by how dumb his listeners are. But he knows that if he calls them dumb, game over.
Yeah.
So he has to try and blame the media and stuff like that. It's like they've poisoned everyone's minds and act like he's talking about other people. But yeah.
When he's really talking about the dum-dums.
If his listeners saw him dressed up like the Joker and they were like, wow, you actually believe that means your listeners are dumb. Also, no one who is making fun of that clip years ago when he did that, no one was like, look at this guy. He likes to dress up like the Joker. We don't get this as parody. We don't get this as satire. Everyone was like, look at this crazy asshole.
Yeah. He's a crazy asshole dressed up like the Joker.
And the first time any right-thinking person saw it.
He really dressed up like the Joker?
Yeah. You can find pictures of it.
He really did that.
Yeah, he put on like the makeup and everything. Yeah.
Who told him that was a good idea?
I bet there's just people who can't tell him it's not.
That actually sounds far more reasonable.
I bet he doesn't listen to anybody. That's why he's doing
this.
That's why he's indemnifying himself or whatever. You know, like he's going to get fucked.
Yeah, he's not good at this.
Yeah. So this next clip coming up is him really further nailing down that he's not an actor. And he also explains that he doesn't want to be famous, which...
That is the least true thing anyone... That's the least true thing he's said.
Truth is his North Star. You understand?
No, he wants to be famous so bad.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to rub elbows with other famous people so badly.
Totally. But also, you really shouldn't be making a crystal clear case that you're not an actor at this point.
I love how then they act like I'm an actor, like I want to be an actor. I've been in major movies. They've asked me to be in major movies. I've been offered more than 50 reality TV shows. I've been offered by some of the biggest reality TV stars in the world to do shows with them. But that coming here and doing live, real feeds with you is so much more empowering. I don't want that. I don't want to be a celebrity. I want to be a leader for freedom for the future. But it is all about me now, because if they can destroy in everybody's eyes someone they know who they admittedly surveil, who's under criminal investigation as a Russian agent, because I stand for America and have no Russian connections, if they can do that, they can take down anybody.
Well, you just got really shocked. What's up?
He just said he was under criminal investigation for ties to Russia.
He's not. That's what he thinks is happening. They're investigating the bots that promote his content.
Okay.
And stuff like that.
All right.
The FBI has announced there was that McClatchy article.
Yeah.
Or McClatchy, excuse me. And they were discussing that these Russian bots seem to time, their promotion of InfoWars Breitbart content and stuff like that to make a very high impact whenever Trump was going down in the polls. When something bad was happening, bad press for Trump, it seemed like all of these anti-Hillary, pro-Trump articles from InfoWars were being pushed really hard by these identified bots that were being used by Russia.
Wow.
That is...
They're good at strategy.
Well, it turns out a lot of this stuff is really traceable. But they're using...
They're not bad. They're not good at hiding their tracks.
Right.
That is a good strategy, though.
Well, it's just like with that Syria hoax hashtag. It's really easy to track back who used it first because everything's timestamped.
Because it's the internet.
Yeah. In the same way...
You can Google it.
In the same way, you can pretty easily identify these fake accounts. It's pretty simple. And so Alex believes that because the FBI is investigating InfoWars' connection to these bots, that they are investigating him being a Russian agent, and they're not. This is more of him making himself into a bigger victim and a bigger martyr.
Right.
Because it reinforces that other thing he said, that if they can do that to me, they can do it to anybody.
Yeah.
Which is the last act of a coward. When you're like, if you don't protect me, they're coming for you next. When I deserve to be come after. Like, I am a liar and a propagandist, and my own 20-year game has caught up to me now at this point.
Yeah.
And I have created an army of idiots who don't understand satire, apparently, who are buying my weirdo pills and bone sauce.
Yeah.
And now
and definitely not as vaccines.
No, certainly not. InfoWars line of vaccines?
Oh, they would be so good at... what would they vaccinate you
Clean against? Vaccines!
No viral content whatsoever.
You know what they would be, though? They'd vaccinate you against fake diseases. There would be some sort of like space disease that they would vaccinate you against.
I might buy a space disease.
Or Dr. vaccine. Group would come in with some like weird fake disease. And like, you gotta get this. I mean, it's great. I've been studying for 15 years.
Yeah, we need Bob Duca on this one.
Anyway, this is what cowards do. That's, you have this built up group around you, and it's like, fuck, they're gonna turn on me eventually unless I make this a super emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And it is gonna be a super emergency, cause, I mean, he's saying shit he should not say.
Well, and once again, it's a cult leader move too. It's always going to be, you know, they're coming after me, your leader.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be coming after you the moment I'm gone. I'm the only one protecting you.
It's an implied threat, too.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. It's like Jim Jones, being like, we all have to kill ourselves or else they're going to get me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's not as severe as that, certainly.
Jim Jones! Related.
To?
Alex.
Jones.
Exactly.
Holy shit. Has Alex Jones ever been in San Francisco?
Probably not.
The People's Church.
I would almost guarantee he's never been to San Francisco.
This next clip is weird. This clip is Alex not really understanding what doing an act is. He doesn't really understand it, and then he gets a little bit sentimental, and he gets lost in thought telling a story from his youth that is not true.
Sometimes I love Alex Jones.
So I'll shoot a later video on this. On the particular of, you know, am I an actor? That's ridiculous. The whole world's a stage. Each of us players upon it. William Shakespeare. Was I an actor? I got my driver's license when I was 15 in a hardship. I had a job at a small animal vet. And I'd pull up at the Sonic and act tough in front of girls and say, hey, let's go see a movie. Yeah, I stuck my chest out. I tried to act slicker than I probably was. Was it acting? No, I really wanted to date that girl. I really wanted to take her to the movies. I really wanted to kiss her and put my hand on her thigh. I really wanted to date all the cheerleaders, and I did. And the bad girls as well. Punk rock girls, you name it. As long as they had a spring in their step, I wanted to. Was it an act that I kind of stuck my chest out and walked over like I was tough?
Yes.
It was an act, but my heart was 100% behind it. An act could be any definition you want it to be. Everything we've done is about restoring the republic. Everything we've done is about empowering the people. Everything we've done is about being genuine. Globalism is being exposed. World governments being exposed. The private Federal Reserve being exposed. Their whole system is being exposed right now. And we're having victory after victory after victory. And you are the leaders. You've had the huge effect. The world's changing because of you. No matter what color your skin is, your blood's red, like I say 1,000 times.
You do have to say that 1,000 times a week. Yeah. Also,
otherwise people might catch on.
Yeah. I would posit also that when you're in the middle of an ugly divorce and one of your arguments in court is that you're playing a character, and then against the wishes of your lawyer, clearly you get on air and you shoot a video where you're arguing that you are not an actor, it might not be best to talk about, was I acting when I fucked every girl in my school?
He said he fucked every girl.
Cheerleaders, fuck them. Punk rock girls, I don't even give a shit. I'll fuck anybody.
Yeah, he's like, I got the cheerleaders, got them all. Bad girls, too.
What?
What the fuck is he talking about?
That's my favorite Alex right there. That's a great Alex.
Alex Jones. I got my license at 15, and that's when I started fucking everyone. There's your clip, Media Matters, right there. Alex Jones fucks.
Alex Jones, the 15-year-old sport fucker. Going out there to the Sonic with his chest out, trying to finger a lady at a drive-in.
Yeah, I want to put my hand on her thigh. What is that? Gross.
It is really gross.
That's a really gross way of putting it.
Yeah, it's very much so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, again, that's unwise. Also,
I'd be more comfortable with, I wanted a finger blast a punk rock girl. At least that would be pretty great.
Also, much like him not understanding that what's at issue is not whether or not he was literally the Joker, we're also not concerned with you faking confidence in order to connect with other humans.
No.
That's not really what's at issue.
No.
What's at issue is whether or not you're a rage-filled, angry man who can't be around his children.
I do love how he's like, he correctly cites William Shakespeare. I'm glad he did that. Otherwise, I might think he just came up with that off the top of his dome.
Yeah.
Maybe one of the most famous phrases in the history of the world. I might have thought that Alex Jones thought that one up.
Well, his audience may be as dumb as he thinks they are.
That's possible.
I don't think a lot of them are into the Bard.
I also like how he said that an act can be anything you want it to be,
anything
which is
you
like,
want it to be.
Hey, any word can be any meaning you want it to have. Doesn't
See,
matter. Words don't mean anything.
This is what we keep coming back to.
Nothing
you think
means
words
anything.
Have meaning.
Yeah.
They don't.
I'm just a silly idiot for thinking that the actual definition of a word is how you're supposed to use that word within the context of the sentence, and that word has a fucking meaning.
Jordan, I've been an info warrior all along. This has been an act.
Oh, okay. I look.
And I'm doing this to get chicks.
I thought it was weird when you dressed up like the Joker, because this is not a video podcast.
For our first 10 episodes. That was weird. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize.
I just let that go. Yeah. I just let that go. I mean, I thought you were a good guy, but maybe you're not.
Bah. Take your vaccines. Bah.
And you know me.
You're down with OPP.
Dress up like a Joker. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, whatever you do in your own bedroom, which we're in.
That's true.
So this next clip.
Here is the one thing from the divorce thing that I did read that I found very interesting.
Okay.
They said he broadcast from his room?
No.
From his house?
No. I've seen people misrepresenting that, too. He has a giant studio that he broadcasts from, but sometimes he does special reports from the home. So, like, this was recorded in, like, a study in his house.
Okay.
And sometimes he's in the living room, and you know, it's he'll shoot like iPhone video,
stuff at
home. So no, his regular show is broadcast out of a warehouse.
Right.
He has a giant fucking studio.
Really?
Yeah. So that the people who are like, hey, you get mad at people living in their parents' basement, you shoot your fucking show out of your home.
Yeah.
First of all, it's a flimsy argument. Second, it's not true.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
So sometimes he will videotape himself in his home. Like just about everybody on YouTube.
Yeah, but not his show. His show broadcasts every day
out of
the
I was really concerned about that because every time I've seen a picture of his studio, I'm like, fuck, he's got a room in his house for that shit?
He has a smaller studio he broadcasts out of like on Sundays, and it's possible that one would be in a basement or something like that.
Okay.
It looks small enough that it could be, but I don't think so. I think it's just a secondary studio in his warehouse. But yeah. No, anyway. The next couple clips are just him, again, not fucking understanding what people are actually talking about with him being a character.
Is he insane?
Yes.
Okay.
So, when they then say, I'm fake, because the national news plays me as the Joker or me in a, you notice this is like 7-8 years ago now. I don't do this anymore. You notice most of the videos on national TV making fun of me, you know, where I'm going, oh my God, I'm trendy or, oh, I'm gay. Oh, I'm not even bashing gay people there. I just mean like people that go, oh, I'm gay. Let, you know, let me get in your face and grandstand. Just like some fake Christian. Let me grandstand and say you're going to hell. I don't care if you're gay or a Christian or whatever. It's like all these grandstanding people.
I would argue that his whole show is largely grandstanding.
Yeah.
About people being dumb and not realizing there are globalists that walk among us and want to kill us.
Also, have you seen anything in the mainstream news that references him dressing up like the Joker?
Not a one thing.
I haven't seen anything.
No.
So why would he mischaracterize that? So here's what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
I think you just got it. He's instead of engaging with what it is they are saying about him, he is then pulling back on this one instance that is so unusual and so out of any context whatsoever that he's creating that false equivalency there in order to make it seem like what they're saying, which is reasonable, is akin to him dressing up like the Joker.
Would you call that a straw man?
Which is not reasonable.
Would you call that a straw man?
I would call that a straw man.
Yeah, he basically is using himself as a straw man argument, kind of.
So maybe he's brilliant? What is happening?
No, because if he was actually doing that, or like if he was aware of that and more in control, he could make the argument better. The fact that it's so confusing means that he doesn't understand.
Of course.
I legitimately don't think. I think from listening to this, and especially I know where it's going, like I legitimately think that he.
He genuinely believes that's what they are talking about.
That sort of thing is what people are like, oh, you're an act. No, I'm an act when I do this.
Uh-huh.
It's.
This is really ill-advised.
So
he should get a better lawyer.
It even gets worse. Too.
Either that or he should get a lawyer that's willing to put him in a Hannibal Lecter mask.
It gets worse. There is one clip that I'm going to play.
Although, then if he went on his show, he would call that an act. There's no win.
There's a clip I'm going to play towards the end of this, just literally titled, probably going to be used in court. So we've got that coming up.
Every clip is so far. Okay, never mind. Let's keep going.
Then they take clips out and say I'm anti-gay, or I go, I'm gay, and then they play clips saying I'm gay, and it's just like they're all taking it out of context. So then I say, you know, when the feds show up or whatever, well, is it really true you want to punch a congressman in the nose? And I'm like, no, he pissed me off. I was angry. It was a
My dog just died. But also, the feds showed up?
Yeah, the feds showed up.
Do you think so?
They're investigating him for Russian ties.
But do you think...
You would ask him, right? You'd be like, hey, do you have Russian ties? You got to tell us. We're the feds. He'd be like, no. So that would be the end of it.
Do you think the feds showed up about that video where he said he was going to punch Schiff? Because I don't think there's a chance.
No.
I can't imagine them having the time. I imagine most federal agents are busy.
I can imagine them having the time.
I don't know, man. There's a lot going on in the world.
Yeah, but I don't think they're really interested on what's going on in the world anymore.
They would rather.
I think they're more interested in just
some local dickweed,
fucking up Alex Jones's day. That's what everybody's really doing.
But based on,
because as we know, the feds work for the globalists.
No, because based on Alex's whole premise.
Oh, that's right. The Patriot feds are taking over.
Yeah.
So which feds showed up at his door?
It's probably part of the counter coup.
Ooh, there's so many coups going on. How can you keep track of them?
You can't. You need a coup app. If you guys fucking can program an app, Get at me if you can program. We need a coup app.
Hear a speech like, how dare you meet me in the street, you know, for saying that. I'm not really planning to go after Adam Schiff, and all his crap, but you know, they're investigating me with no evidence and won't let me go before Congress as a Russian agent. It's all over the damn news. It pisses you off. So then I'm like, no, it's performance art. I mean, what is it when you say, I'd like to knock you upside the head?
A threat?
Yeah, that's
say that again to my face. It isn't literal. It's like, dude, you don't want me to accuse you of, say, being a child molester. And I'm not accusing him of that.
Which you have in the past.
But MSM is so deceptive that they will cut that out of context and probably say I said that. So.
You did.
It isn't about Alex Jones. And that's what frustrates me the most.
It frustrates me too. But like this part of is like, okay, so it's a performance art. What is it if I say I want to attack you? Well, that's a threat.
That's a literal threat.
That's a threat.
Or like it's, if or you it's a and hypothetical I, if you threat. And I go out and I'm like, hey, I want to punch you really hard, you're not going to say, wow, that is really great performance art.
That's a great piece. Right there. It's a great piece of acting.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be at least a hypothetical threat.
Yeah.
So then he's like, dude, what would it be if I said that you were a child molester? That would be slander.
Yeah. So that's, it would be a crime.
That's not performance art either.
It would be the crime.
Yeah.
You ever hear about crime?
So I don't think he understands at all what anyone's talking about or what he's even talking about in the moment.
Is he just like a confused, weird dude?
I think he's not well right now.
Like, is he just a very confused man just wandering around the world not understanding that, like, every single moment of his life has been pure, abject confusion over what is reality?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's probably... you got to assume that, like, around six, he felt alienated because of his mother rejecting him and saying he doesn't get love anymore. Around that age, he probably started to feel these real confused, powerless feelings.
Right.
And that makes the world terrifying.
Yeah.
So you start thinking you're more grown up than you are. You start reading military history books and not really understanding them.
Yeah.
Start to get childish ideas mixed in with some kernels of factual history.
Okay.
So you get this warped view of the world. You get narratives that don't exist filling in. Then around the age of 12, you find this cockamamie bullshit book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, that's just basically nonsense repackaged anti-Semitism about the globalists and the dangers of socialism turning into communism. And
which
then you
doesn't
just,
happen.
And then you just base your whole life on it. Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is so simple. It really is this simple.
Next question.
A lot of the rest of the stuff is just window dressing.
When he gets drunk.
I'm really bummed out now.
Does he see pink elephants dancing?
No, that's...
Like in a Tex Avery cartoon?
No, that's like when he's hungover. That's when he's like going through DTs.
Ah.
He's going through those delirium tremens.
Ooh, boy.
Anyway, Alex has this next clip. By the way, I think I just expressed what I would call the unified field theory of Alex.
He's a confused man.
Well, I think that, like, we have documented him saying all of these things.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of just 4 months of the show.
Yeah.
I think that you get a picture of someone who's had a real tough time for
man,
the last 35 years.
I wish there was an actual, like, I wish there was an actual access to him where we could just like see what his fucking day is like.
Well, I imagine.
Like, I just want to wake up with him, go throughout his day, and I will wear a mask
so bark at him,
not to yell.
Yeah.
And then just follow him home and just like sit in his home life and see what's going on there.
The problem is that we'd never be granted that access until everything falls apart. And then his life
after that
wouldn't be interesting.
Yeah, then we could totally fucking, I'm telling you, this book we read is going to be great.
We'll have moved on to Michael Savage by then.
Admittedly, in the book, you will write all the information and then I'll have in the footnotes, and that'll be it. That'll be my contribution, right?
You see, I've got a lot of work in front of me.
I feel like I'm doing the right thing in this one.
Anyway, Alex has more thoughts about how he is truthful.
I have seen on court TV juries impaneled.
Oh, boy.
And I've seen them ask what the lawyers are trying to, you know, pick their actual jury. I've seen the lawyers ask them on court TV and in articles I've read. They'll say, how do you know the truth? How do you know fraud? And most juries say, oh, off their body language or off how good they look or how nice they're dressed. It's like, no, off the provable facts. Is there an unelected EU? Is there an unelected global UN? No. Are the IMF, World Bank, and WTO under the TPP openly setting up world corporate government with $100 trillion taxes every decade paid to them? Absolutely. Did George Soros go on C-SPAN and admit he overthrew Ukraine with $5 billion U.S. taxpayer money?
No.
Elected government? Yes. Did he admit he funded the Arab Spring and the Islamic takeover? Absolutely. It's,
no.
Just search what I said.
I have.
They're pissed because I sit here and empower you. I'm the opposite. I'm the anti-fake news.
He's the anti-fake news after listing...
He just listed a long string of things that are not even remotely true.
No, George Soros did have some hand in funding groups, but he didn't fund the Arab Spring.
So,
he didn't
create
the Arab Spring.
He funded the groups
that overthrew
Ukraine?
No.
Oh.
No.
How about the Arab Spring? Did he
no.
did he fund that?
No. Not all of it.
So were those like people?
Those are people, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were kind of like mad at the authoritarian governments that they were part of, and they mm-hmm. were like, no, I can't do this.
And some of those groups may have gotten some money from George Soros because, like I said, he's a global yeah, philanthropist.
It's not like George Soros called him up.
Bring, bring.
Like,
hey there.
Hey, this is George Soros, billionaire.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm using that voice, but now it's I'm
very
a big
inaccurate.
Fan of it. Yeah.
Very
yeah, yeah.
inaccurate.
Yeah, yeah. No, I prefer the Rockefeller voice for George Soros from now on.
Very Hungarian. But like, yeah, all that shit is whack. All that stuff is bullshit. Mm-hmm. The EU is unelected. All this nonsense.
$100 trillion tax.
Our Secretary of State is unelected then. Hooray.
Yeah.
Like if you really want to, like if
That's
you.
That's true.
If you want to get into.
I never considered that. I think we should vote for Secretary of State.
Right. I mean, not every position.
You know, do you know what's crazy? If we did that, we would actually have a functioning Secretary of goddamn State.
And maybe.
It would be fucking filled with people who do their goddamn jobs.
Might be deputies. But if you want to take a step back and not just use the examples that he listed.
Right.
There's litanies of lies. I mean,
oh, and there's plenty of... Yeah. Come on.
We have plenty on our website, knowledgefight.com, where we've documented the lies.
Nice plug.
Yeah.
30% off on visits to knowledgefight.com this week.
You know what?
Week.
Because it's Easter?
It's Easter.
100% off.
100% off?
Yeah.
Jesus, this deal has never been played before.
You could go to our website for free.
For free?
Yeah, totally.
We're not even charging like 20 cents for that?
Spoiler alert, it's no longer Easter. So, in this next clip, Alex is kind of right about something, but he uses this rightness wrong. He explains that the things that the media is doing right now, the joke is on you, the people
oh,
who are
shit.
Listening. And he is kind of right.
I always knew the joke would be on me.
Well, all of the like out of context clips that people post about him, uh-huh. it is kind of a psyop against the people watching it because they do give the wrong impression of Alex. But again, as we keep coming back to, it's a better picture.
Yeah.
The him as a joke is a better picture than the reality of
yeah.
a completely damaged man lashing out at the world through his audience.
With an inexplicable number of damaged people listening.
Yeah. So anyway, here we go.
And they revel in it because they always say in talk radio, be strong, be confident, never apologize. That's not who I am. When huh? we get something wrong sometimes, every few months, I'm sure it happens more, but we catch something. I come and I say, hey, I was wrong about that.
That's not true. He apologized about Pizzagate because he got a letter from James Alefantis, and he didn't really even apologize about that. He still has not addressed the fact that that mosque shooter was a white dude in Montreal.
Yep.
He still has been peddling horrible lies about George Soros being a Nazi collaborator.
And even his Sandy Hook stance is now... I'm just asking questions.
There are a lot of questions to ask.
Yeah. And like, are guns bad?
He still says that Hillary Clinton sold 20% of our uranium to the Russians. It's not true. He owes an apology on that. He owes so many apologies, and he never corrects himself.
He's called a lot of people pedophiles. A
lot of them. Dracula's, to be fair.
That's true.
It's code, but he calls...
Yeah, yeah.
And Renfields. Yeah, he's made a lot of borderline slanderous claims about people, and he's never really apologized.
And they take that as a weakness and then run around and say, Jones admits he's fake. He admits he's fake. Folks, that's a psyop on you. Quite frankly, I've become such a logo or icon for resistance that their attacks on me only make InfoWars bigger. This is a big ascension that's happening right now, and I'm very humble about it. I'm on a power trip. I want to see humanity succeed. I'm very humble about the planet itself.
Nah.
But they want to wreck your mind where you don't believe there's anybody good in the world, so you don't have hope. But you know you're good. You know you have hope. All the policies, all the culture, everything I promote, human dignity and freedom, not having cross-human animal hybrids that the media makes jokes about but are all admitted, not having babies with six parents or whatever. All this dangerous crap. That's fundamentally who I am. That's fundamentally on my soul what I stand for. But you already know that. We're changing the world. We're in this together. Of course I believe what I say.
That's going to be a problem.
I stand against chimeras.
That's going to be a problem.
I swear to God, I bet he could win a governorship on fucking just no chimeras.
But do you catch at the end of that? It was, of course I mean what I say.
Yes. Yes.
That's going to be a problem.
It's bad.
That's going to be
he
a problem.
He shouldn't say that.
No. He shouldn't say any
he
of this.
He stands against.
Look, did you notice?
Human-animal hybrids with which they turn into a joke, but is all admitted. What are you fucking talking about?
It's not admitted. But also, like, I love that that's, like, the second thing he comes up with after freedom.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Freedom, no human-animal hybrids. I don't understand. Those are the two most pressing issues in my mind.
I've read all the articles that he has cited about chimeras, and they don't say what he says they say.
Did you watch Full Metal Alchemist, though?
I didn't.
See, there you go.
Okay, well, maybe
that's admitted.
Yeah, my research is flawed.
It's admitted that in Japan, alchemists can create chimeras.
Okay.
That's just a fact.
Fine.
Human transmutation is bad, though. Just as a heads up for anybody, don't transmute humans.
In this next clip, Alex wrestles even further with the idea of what it means to play a role. And again, like I said, I didn't cut out anything in between these clips, so they seem really disjointed because they are. The entire video is available. I think it'll be taken down at some point.
I would hope so.
But it's super disjointed. Like, he's not making sense. So that's why none of this makes sense.
Yeah.
This is all in chronological order with nothing cut out. This is wild.
Of course I believe what I say. Unless they go clip devil's advocate things out where I interview myself as the head of Goldman Sachs, and I'm wearing a top hat, and I'm saying really evil crap as I interview myself as devil advocate, and I say, no, that's acting. That's a skit to illustrate that. Nobody asks Alec Baldwin when he goes and does his skits, if you know, is that exactly who you are? Of course he has politically who he is and what he does, but when he does a skit, you know it's a skit. So then I sit there like an adult.
That is an important
and
distinction.
I see some of the public, a lot of them just want to be victims. They just want to go, oh my God, he says he's fake now. I mean, what am I going to do about that? He had nothing to do with me, but he's fake news. Google just got caught because they don't want to get sued with contractors saying delist us in huge contracts. They just admitted that was true. And they just said it was an accident because they saw my video where I laid out everything.
Nope. They didn't. And you're lying.
They definitely didn't.
Nope. That's just a perfect example of him being completely fake news.
Yeah.
But then, more importantly, because that's not even all that interesting, what is fascinating is this idea of him comparing himself to Alec Baldwin, who's an actor. You know, like,
yes.
Everyone knows that when Alec Baldwin is talking about it taking brass balls.
Well, as we all know, all the world is a stage. So perhaps we are truly all actors. Did you consider that, Dan Friesen? Is that even your real name, Mr. Friesen?
I think that's...
How will I know?
It's so dumb.
It's so dumb.
So pointless.
How does he not understand... How does he not understand the difference?
I don't know.
How is that possible not to understand the difference between an actor acting
right.
and him saying that...
Chimeras.
There's a pedophile ring under a pizza shop.
Well, I mean, let's even take that away because he's apologized for that now. Just to say that there's a... Let's say that the entire government works off pedophile blackmail.
Yes.
Yeah. So use that as your example instead of the pizza place.
If you're going to entertain this argument, right? Now, here is his through line that he should use. So if you're listening, AJ, I got you.
Okay.
I got your back. Right?
I like this. I like this workshopping.
Now, according to his own words, right, he's exaggerating and acting to show what he's against, right? So if you're going to call him describing everybody in the government working off a pedophile blackmail ring an act, then maybe you can say that he's just exaggerating it the same way that he played devil's advocate as the Joker or whatever the fuck he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he dress up as the Joker?
Make your point.
Anyways, if he's going to do that, then that's his argument there, that he is amplifying it beyond what is a reasonable concept in order to demonstrate what he feels is the true evil beneath it. You know, like your like your comic book villain. Okay, your comic book villain is an amplified version of whatever negative trait it is that you want to describe. You know, you have your you have your Lex Luthor, who is just an amplified billionaire who just takes things so far, which is all Bruce Wayne is, anyways. So, right. Anyways, so you have your amplified version describing what it is that you're actually against.
Mm-hmm.
So Hillary Clinton herself is a vampire squid in the same way that Matt Taibbi described it way back when regarding Goldman Sachs, right? Do you see how that is, while not a good argument, one that you could skate by on?
No.
You don't think so?
Not really. Okay, so no, because Alex Jones playing the role of the villain or whatever.
Yes.
Him yelling about the, like, the globalists use children as, like,
Jesus.
As currency.
There's really, I retract anything that I just said, because I just heard yet again you say the globalists use children as currency.
Right, but him.
There's nothing to say against that.
But if he's doing his Joker thing where, you know, like, he's out there saying everyone should get vaccinated in order to make the point don't get vaccinated.
Wait, that's what he was doing?
Yeah, that's what he was doing. You didn't get that? That's why he thinks it's satire.
Because he dressed up as the Joker.
Yes. And did exactly the opposite of what his point was. So if he's doing that in the instance of the, like, pedophile sex rings and stuff like that, he's...
So if he dressed up as...
No. I'm saying that if this is the parody,
yes,
then the point he's actually trying to make is that people in the government don't do this stuff.
Aha.
People in the government are pretty cool.
Perhaps.
Maybe he's trying to do a reducto ad absurdum argument.
Yes.
He's not.
No. But...
This is a bummer.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice if Alex wasn't so fucking crazy?
And you said you weren't good at improv. that is some whose line is it anyways level improv. Right,
I'm the
there.
Wayne Brady of this bit. So
a sentence no one has ever said before.
I'm going to skip this next clip because it's just about how he was right about Syria, and that's pointless. So this next clip?
Yes.
This is really where I think I would like us to really absorb this clip, because I think it's Alex wrestling with the fact that his audience is stupid and he doesn't know how to do it. He doesn't know how to say, I can't believe you guys are this dumb.
Yeah.
And it's there's a lot going on here.
Yes.
They know we're huge. They want to convince you that we're small, so you feel small, and you feel like you got conned and taken into something. So I'm on air, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours a day, depending on the day. Totally, you know, just being real. Like, hey, when I talk about subjects, it's totally real.
Chimeras.
When I'm getting into this article, that article. But sometimes if I go, here, let me act like I'm Lord Rothschild, clearly I'm in a British accent and I'm being sarcastic. Reading Lord Rothschild quotes on air, I'm not agreeing with Lord Rothschild. But what's crazy is I've almost killed all the satire. And I got to really think, is it the right thing to do or not? Because maybe it's power, but they don't want that. Because people will sit there and say, why is he wearing a wig saying he's a British professor? Doesn't he know this is fake news? What, it's satire? It's like, people don't know that. So I go, hey, I'm being an actor there. They go, oh my God, you're fake. You don't mean, and it's just like, no. I have a syndicated radio show as a pundit and analyst. When I'm regular Alex Jones, that's real. I'm a libertarian. I'm a patriot. I don't even know how the public doesn't even understand this. It actually really depresses me that I'm sitting here. Covering what I believe, talking about what I believe, then the news says, look at him in a Joker outfit saying he wants all kids to have 100 vaccines. And I go, I'm being sarcastic. People go, oh man, why'd you get fake on us? But see, they're not even stupid. They want to act like they've been wronged and betrayed. They were never even listeners to begin with.
That's very weird.
What?
It's very weird.
What?
I think he's.
What?
I.
What? Okay. All right.
All right.
All right. What he just said there.
Mm-hmm.
What did he just say there?
Well, let's try. I'm
gonna, so, okay.
I'm
so we
bring
start
out a
with,
pen.
We start with, I love your Foley work. It is truly inspiring.
Right.
Okay. The New York Times. He's killed satire? How do you kill satire?
No, he's
How do you kill satire?
I think he's saying he's killed it with the satire.
He's killed it with the satire? No. Yeah. I think he's saying.
No, because he's making the argument that, like, people attack it so much that they must be threatened by it. He did say that.
Here's my pitch.
Okay.
What he meant was he can no longer do satire because he has done it so well in the past.
I think that might be
what we're going. Okay. So New York Times videos, all of it. They don't understand.
He dresses up in a wig.
And they don't get that.
And they're like, hey man, why are you doing that?
Right. And they don't understand it.
He's like, come on, it's satire. Mm. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? When I'm not being satire, I'm me. I'm Alex Jones. I'm a libertarian.
Also, how is he being sarcastic? You can't be sarcastic at the same... Okay.
This is...
All right.
This is insanity.
Here's the thing that got to me.
All right.
He just said the listeners weren't actually Alex Jones listeners.
Mm-hmm.
They were just listening, waiting for the moment that they could jump off.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was their whole goal in the beginning.
They weren't stupid. They weren't listeners to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oof. Super weird.
That's some classic cult leader behavior right there.
They weren't really fans.
Anybody who leaves is a suppressive person who doesn't really care about the movement at all.
They didn't get it. They're not
patriots.
Secret globalists.
They're secret non-patriots.
Yeah.
Or they're uninformed. They're the un-info warriors.
Ooh. That's really what our show should have been called.
Un-info warriors?
Yeah.
Ooh, that actually would have been pretty good.
So this next clip, this next clip.
I'm starting to think he doesn't know. Yeah. I think he doesn't know. I think he doesn't think anyone knows what he's talking
because
about.
Because they don't. He's crazy. He's a crazy person.
I don't think nobody knows what he's talking
except
about.
Except people with his exact same kind of schizophrenia. And then really dumb people think he's smart. But it's actually not smart. It's scattered, disjointed thinking that appears kind of deep. And it's not. But it's like, if he lies about secret sources that he has, why wouldn't dumb people believe him?
That is a good point.
All of the verifiable sources that he's ever cited have not said what he says they say, but I don't know about his secret sources. I don't know.
I did not consider his secret sources.
Yeah, but you gotta be dumb to fucking believe an asshole like him.
And he has secret sources fucking everywhere.
High level.
I didn't know he had high level sources in Google.
Not even in
Google. That's a new one.
Not even in Google. In the vendor company who Google subcontracts.
Yes. Yeah.
He's got them everywhere.
He has a network of spies in every institution in the entire United States.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a complicated web.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
Shakespeare.
Damn it. You got there first. You son of a bitch.
So this next clip.
Will Shakespeare said that. I don't know if you.
Will he?
I know you said Shakespeare, but I just wanted to make sure that our listeners heard that it was Will Shakespeare.
That's important.
Now, obviously.
I know him as Bill.
Yeah. I prefer
friends.
To call him William Shakespeare.
This next.
Cause I'm nasty? I don't know. I don't know where I got that one.
This next clip is.
Janet Jackson.
Alex Jones doing Willie Shakespeare level versions of drama, explaining that he's a victim.
Now, I'm not one to act like a wimp, but
they've got us under
governmental attack. Google's had us banned off advertising. They got reporters falling around everywhere with disinfo, true operatives, just scum of the earth, just total inversion of reality, total lies, just absolute. Whatever you read, they say, flip it. You've got it. I mean, literally, I can't get into it later. It'll all come out, but it's just spectacular.
Stop it.
I mean, they
flip
are
it.
So scared as they implode.
Skip it.
That they have just fully embraced the lie, and it is beautiful
in
its destructiveness to them.
Jones it.
So,
sick.
You the full attack is on us right now because they know we've hit the zeitgeist, because we've touched you. You've touched us. You are the power. So spread the links, Infowars.com. The site's not even a beautiful site. It's got great writers. We're updating it. The videos, the articles.
Why are you shitting on your own site?
What are they so scared of? See, think about it. Why do they attack this? Why are they so against it?
I can speak to that.
Can you?
Everyone's, you know, right-thinking people are super against it because you lie all the fucking time. You're a
yes.
bigot. You yep. are a cancerous force to dialogue.
Pretty bad.
Yeah, so that's why. It has nothing to do with you being right.
Too real.
Too right all
too
the time.
Too real.
Has nothing to do with misunderstanding your sarcasm or your satire. I get it. Every time I've seen you do something wacky, I get it. And to our credit, 100%, we even said, like, even with that Schiff clip, he's drunk and he's an asshole, but there was no part of us that was like, he wants to actually beat up Schiff.
Yeah.
We defended it. We're like, this isn't illegal. This isn't, like, this isn't his free speech. He's
did
just
you,
being a
did
dick.
You read the Klosterman book, But What If We're Wrong?
No.
So in it, he goes through all of these different, circumstances in the past where everybody agreed this is not true. And then it was later proven to be true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I occasionally have that moment with Alex Jones.
It's natural.
It is one of the things that I constantly like have to stop myself and just go, yeah, but what if he's right?
Yeah, I have that moment until I research anything he talks about.
Yeah, no, he's an insane person.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
But, sometimes there's a part of me that's like, God, and here's the worst part. Sometimes I wish he was right.
Like the world would be more interesting?
How much more fun would the world, like evil and horrific and miserable.
Well,
but
life would be so much more simple if we did have some sort of, arch global evil group that we legitimately had to fight against.
Yeah.
Because in that reality, everyone,
we're all Captain Planet.
Everyone could come together much easily, much more easily than we can now. Life would be so much less messy.
And it would be a lot more like the movie Independence Day, which is something I've always wished for.
Sure. I mean, Alex has, I believe, in the past also said that the government is likely to get a fake alien attack in order to unite the people as a globalist scam.
How fun would that be?
Anyway, that last clip in his victim self-victim status claiming.
Yes.
In there, he said, basically, all these lies are going to come out. I can't talk about it, but it's all lies, and you're all going to see, which is the beginning.
He literally can't talk about it. It's against the law for
he
him
can't
to
even,
talk about
he
it.
He shouldn't even say that.
He should be in contempt of court for talking about it.
That, yeah, is bad.
Yeah.
Now, this next clip is way worse. This next clip is like this. If his lawyer isn't screaming at him about this, that's a bad lawyer.
And I got the whole system coming after me, coming after my family, and it's just all a blessing. I'm trying to take everything away from me. I got them hitting me on every front, financially, culturally, family. You name it. And you know what's great though? I'm just going up against it. No matter what happens, I'm just here to wake people up. And all these other doors are opening, just like the documents on Google and more. It's like everything you hit us with. There's not just evil in the universe, folks. And that's why the enemy's so scared. They know genuineness when they see it. And I'm genuine enough to tell you, I'm ashamed of some of the things of my laziness and things I don't do enough sometimes, but I'm totally real. I want you to have a future. And I see how pathetic and dumb down the public is and how sick the public is under this attack. And I get sad because I realize I'm a shadow of my ancestors as well. And I want you to win. I want you to win. And I love you and I appreciate you. And I'm 100% real in what I say and what I do. They just take out of context when I do satire or joke around. So I got to say, no, that's satire. That was a little performance piece, you know, where I dress up as a spy and I'm spying on people at a coffee shop.
Yeah,
there's all those videos. They take those now. They show college kids. They go, this is fake news. Look, he says this and now he says that. There's no context.
He twice in there said that I am 100% genuine. I am sincere. He mentioned his family twice in that clip.
Yep.
He's talking about his troubles. He's clearly talking about this court case.
Yep.
He again hammered in, I am very serious about everything except for these times that I play characters.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a real problem.
That's not a good idea.
It's not good.
He should really take this down.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be on our podcast now.
It's a good thing that we're going to be available to testify.
Yeah. So that the end of that clip talked about how they teach college courses about, like, fake news using his, you know, his stuff.
Yeah. They should. That'd be a good idea.
Absolutely. But then
we should all learn more about fake news.
That transition.
How can you learn more about fake news?
KnowledgeFight.com.
I think that's a good place to go.
So this is our final clip coming up here, and it weaves in from that last clip. And then it is very insulting, to people who disagree with him. He says some really funny things. And then at the end, I think he gets into an existential crisis about whether or not he is in fact real. So this whole time,
he doesn't believe he's real.
Well, this whole time he's been going on and on.
He believes he's a hologram.
No, it's not so much that. You'll see. You'll see.
All right.
They take those now. They show college kids. They go, "This is fake news. Look, he says this, and now he says
uncut.
That." There's no context because the public's so brain damaged, and we those of us that aren't brain damaged can't be on a power trip and join the elite. We have to go, oh, my God, the public's so brain damaged. They were put in cribs and never held. They weren't breastfed.
Like you.
They're real just little babies, real scared, disassociate. They're looking for a mommy. They're looking for a daddy.
Like
we
you.
We don't want to be their mommy or daddy. We want to build them up and help them. Infowars.com/show. And I want to thank all the leakers that helped expose Google censoring us. But if we just accept their official story that, oh, it was an accident, we're going to stop now. They've admitted they're doing it. They just don't want any resistance building to it. So too late, Google. Fill your hand. They'll have a federal investigation saying I'm pulling down the finger speech. Doesn't mean I'm being fake. It means give us your full attack. Let's go. Politically. Not physically, but peacefully. And they misrepresent everything, but it's okay. You understand. Infowars.com/show. Spread that link. Fill your hand.
I think we gotta play like just the end of that because it starts with the fill your hand.
Yeah.
Fill your hand. They'll have a federal investigation saying I mean pull a gun. That's a figure of speech. Doesn't mean I'm being fake. It means give us your full attack. Let's go. Politically. Not physically, but peacefully. And they misrepresent everything, but it's okay. You understand. Infowars.com/show. Spread that link.
He does not know what he's saying.
No.
He is all over the map.
That's
even just in
bananas.
That 10 seconds, he's saying, fill your hand.
Yeah.
Now I got to be clear. I'm not talking about a gun. I'm talking about metaphors. Allegedly.
Give us your full attack. Politically. Physically.
He says politically.
Peacefully. Yeah. Give us your full peaceful attack.
You guys get it.
Don't fill your hand. Infowars.com/show. Fill your hand.
Turn off the goddamn camera.
Fillyourhand.com/infowars/show.
Oh, we gotta get fillyourhand.com.
Oh my God. Fillyourhand.com links directly to Knowledge Fight.
Jordan, I gotta be honest. This has been one of the most arduous episodes we've done. I don't know why, but
for you.
Somewhere in the middle, I lost it.
Yeah, I know. You cut out like probably at least 4 or 5 clips, didn't you?
Like 3. I lost my interest in talking about this episode.
You've never cut off 3 clips before in your
life. I'm so bored by this.
Again, great sales pitch.
Well, not like I'm fascinated by his version of what is real, like that sort of thing.
Yeah,
that's a philosophical argument that we could have for years. Like exactly what is the nature of satire?
We're not even gonna play clips anymore. We're just gonna constantly discuss whether or not
we'll go to
reality
like,
is
and
real.
We'll get like University of Chicago professors to come in and discuss.
Nah, fuck those guys. Fake news.
But like that to me is endlessly fascinating. This idea of people are attacking me. I'm misrepresenting what they're attacking me about and twisting it into something else. That's fun. The Google narrative on its own is fairly fun. But the two of them mixed together when we know that what's underneath so much of it is this divorce, it just isn't fun for me.
This is the central question. Does he actually believe that what they are attacking him on is that clip of him dressing up as the Joker?
No.
Does he truly believe that?
No.
He can't, right?
I think he has a bad lawyer, maybe. Or
he actually has 5 lawyers.
Or he might not have.
And she has 3 lawyers.
He might not have listened to legal advice then, because I think that
he can't possibly.
I think that his lawyers know what's best for him, and they use this argument of it's performance art as a way to be like,
it's not true. He's not a performance artist, but if they are going to bring in InfoWars into a custody battle and a divorce trial, that's your angle.
It's the only way to excuse the violent outbursts.
It's a perfect angle, and it's a very smart one.
Right, but it doesn't play to his insecurities about losing his audience.
If your client is a fucking lunatic.
But no, for Alex, to his audience, it doesn't play.
No, of course not.
In his own mind, he knows he has to defend himself against that. And he again, I don't think he could have listened to his lawyer's advice, but
he
thinks he has to play both sides of it.
Yeah, it's a very thin line that he's trying to walk between, I am a performance artist when I do stuff you don't like, and I am a serious person when I do stuff you do like.
Now, that's what he's saying to the court.
Yes.
But he's saying to his audience,
that
I'm
he's
a performance
never
ar-
a, performance
no,
artist,
a performance artist
unless he's dressing up as the Joker.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And then the rest of the time, I'm Alex Jones, good old classical liberal / libertarian.
God.
So, yeah.
He's a fucking lunatic.
That's more interesting. That's way more interesting to me than even his bullshit. Like, that bullshit argument is not, that's just, like, I don't want to poke holes in that. I hope he succeeds.
All right, well, that's weird.
I don't want his kids being taken away from him.
No.
I don't believe.
Well, they're not vaccinated.
Well, look, fine, but they don't, that's bad, but that's not my choice to make. You know, I think it's wrong, but it's not my choice.
Right.
I don't have any evidence. And if there were evidence that he was abusive, I don't think he should have his kids.
Absolutely not.
But there isn't any evidence of that, really.
Not that we're aware of.
I don't know that his son doesn't want to moonlight at InfoWars over the summer. I don't know that that's not the case.
Right.
When I was 13, 14, I would go to my dad's office and hang out with him at the university. So, like, I don't know that his son is any different. And doesn't want to just go hang out at the InfoWars office?
I mean, yeah, that makes perfect sense. At that age, you're doing your dad thing and you want to make him,
On the one hand, it could look like indoctrination, but on the other hand, it could just be a completely innocent.
If you're going to make the indoctrination argument, fucking, if your parents are Christian, they should be, you know.
Right.
Get them out.
Yeah, there's a long road to go down there.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't necessarily want his kids to be taken away from him. And if the argument that needs to be made in order for him to keep his kids is that he's a performance artist, then by all means, go for it. Because realistically, that is what he's doing.
But you are kind of saying that it is all right for him to lie to keep his kids.
Yes. Okay. I do agree with that.
In open court, it is all right to lie.
Well, because it's not really a lie. It's a murky area of perception.
Right.
Because the real talk, he is a performance artist in as much as he's a propagandist.
Okay.
He is not really necessarily.
But then
all the things that he presents.
Then the argument has to come down to intent. And that again is our central conversation that we always go back and forth on inexplicably, is whether or not he intends to do these things or not. So if he is a performance artist, then he is intending to be this insane in order to dupe people. If he is a propagandist, he is intending to dupe people with this information. But if he's a believer, then what does that mean?
Well, I mean, there are people who sell junk products in the world outside of InfoWars.
Fucking Fox News.
InfoWars.
Yeah.
But, like, there are people whose entire existence is about selling a shitty product.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they should have their kids taken away just because they trick people into buying things they don't need.
That's true.
So if at the end of the day, his whole...
Although, imagine if Donald Trump's dad had Donald Trump taken away from him. What a better world.
Well, I mean, maybe the world we live in is an inevitability and some other rich kid would have ended up being president.
That is a good point.
But be that as it may, that's
we are in the darkest timeline.
That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant.
Yes.
I don't think necessarily, I don't know, it's so confusing, but like, legitimately, I believe that he is a real person and at the same time, he is putting on an act. So both arguments are kind of true.
Yeah.
The idea that he's saying this in court in order to not have his kids taken away makes total sense to me, and I'm not against it. At the same time, him coming on the air and saying, I am real, this is me, it is contradictory to what he's saying in court just on its face,
and
but it's
yet
spiritually
at the same
not.
Time, it is not contradictory because he is in his capacity as a performance artist.
Exactly.
So as a performance artist, you would absolutely say that while you were performing, but you would never say that in your real life.
Possibly.
There is no untangling that performance artist web. Just like your Gordian knot of a microphone cord.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a whole mess. And what's more important to me, I think,
is love.
No.
Fair enough.
I don't know what point I want to make here. I really don't.
I worry, not worry. I am comforted by the fact that Alex Jones is inscrutable. Until we can actually spend months upon months talking to Alex Jones in a personal setting,
sure,
in his real life.
Well, one day there'll be like, we'll do the Jinx style series.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah, eventually.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we should talk to his wife and everything. Like, we should talk to everybody involved with Alex Jones's life because he is such an endlessly fascinating evil monster.
He is. He is.
Like he's our version of a true crime novel.
Well,
where you go back through fucking, you know, any serial killer's life and go back through step by step how all of this crime wound up happening, where this guy comes from, what kind of, and there's always that element in a serial killer's life where you look at their childhood and you go, "Oh,
like
there's
it."
Yeah. There's always that point. Like, to me, Alex Jones is a serial killer that is expressing his serial killing in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a very fascinating figure that is both somehow empathetic and monstrous to a degree where you think, how can this happen to a human being? And at the same time, this human being should not be allowed to be anywhere near other human beings.
Right.
Because they're a monster.
Right.
Like, it's so weird to see the push-pull of what is wrong with this man.
Mm-hmm. And a part of me that is, like, maybe the most cynical part of me wonders if he drops in those little pieces about his tragic life and doesn't present them as tragic in order to make people like us take an empathic.
Oh, that is too cynical for me. I'm the most cynical.
That is
one. Here's my problem
but
with
you
that.
Know what, that would be a great performance artist.
It would be a great performance artist. It would be Kafka's The Hunger artist.
Yeah, but go ahead. Sorry.
I'm not going to deny that based on my cynicism. I'm going to deny that based on the genius level talent it would require to drop in those at certain intervals,
mm-hmm,
for such a short period of time and in such a genuine way.
And make it, like, really seem like you're struggling.
Yeah. That story of his mom kicking him off her knee, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Regardless of whether or not it ever happened, to him, that is a formative moment in his life.
Yeah. It is, I think, maybe the Rosetta Stone, like we said. It kind
Something
of unlocks
like
a whole
yeah,
lot.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, as we wind this down, the stuff that's going on with his divorce is tragic for all parties involved, especially the kids.
Nothing worse than a divorce battle.
We should not...
don't get married. Vaccinate your kids.
Don't get married. Also, like, let's try as a society to resist the urge to mock about this stuff. Mock him for what he deserves to be mocked for. We in this episode have mocked him about his lies that have come straight out of his mouth. We've mocked him about him not understanding satire. And we've mocked him for saying things that are going to end up in court.
And correctly quoting Will Shakespeare.
Will Shakespeare.
Will Shakespeare.
Yeah. So those things are great. They're fun. But...
It really kind of, to me, it does. It also makes him a more empathetic figure.
The divorce?
Yeah. Man's just trying to keep his kids.
Yeah.
And his wife has been denied custody multiple times, which suggests there's something else going on there.
Suggests there might be a reason, but again, yeah, it's all this stuff we don't know.
No, no, there's a whole mess that we can only speculate on. And
we can't.
No, well, right. I meant as a culture.
Yeah, your mind reels, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And to me, like the first thing that I felt whenever I read about his custody battle was not, oh, he calls himself a performance artist. It's based on all the stuff that we've talked about and all the stuff that we've heard. He might be a good dad.
Hmm.
And I felt for him. I was like, maybe he is a good dad.
You know, it's fascinating that we do a podcast about him being a propagandist and we hate him. But at the same time, everybody else who heard this news couldn't wait to tee off and make fun of him about stuff.
Yeah.
And our immediate response was you thinking he's possibly a good dad. And me, I mean, obviously my first thought was these poor kids.
Yeah.
Like this is drawn out for years. This is.
No, I agree. No. I mean, I don't want to. Right. I mean, I hate children, so I don't give a shit. But, I don't give a shit.
And my immediate thought was, I mean, it wasn't joy.
No.
It wasn't like, I can't wait to make fun of this.
No, this is bad. This does not make me feel good. I've gotten
more messages about this than anything that's ever happened in my life.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, Alex Jones is getting divorced. What do you think about this?
Yeah.
I don't, that's not
bummed out. That's what I feel about it. I feel bummed out.
Well, there's no real possible winners either.
No.
Like, no matter who wins this court case, it doesn't, like, Alex Jones still has to be Alex Jones for the rest of his life. he's never going to get help, no matter what happens.
Now, here's the better speculation for you and I.
All right.
If this is what takes him down, is that a net positive? Like, ultimately, this is the ends justify the means?
I mean, your argument is based on, like, a false presumption, because it won't end up taking him down. This is nothing.
I mean, you know, take his money away, take all of his stuff away, take his kids away, it breaks him as a man.
It won't.
That's not our speculation.
I know, but, no. I don't think. Look, I mean, I guess what it comes down to is no, the ends wouldn't justify the means.
He should be taken down for being a propagandist, yes. A monster, a bigot, yeah. Someone who has incited violence, who has caused damage to hundreds, if not more, lives.
And that's not what this trial is about.
That is what he should be taken down for, not the fact that in his trial, he's trying to defend himself by calling himself a performance artist.
Right. There are tons of Nazis who are good parents.
That's true.
There are tons of people who are completely evil people who loved their kids and were capable parents. Now, granted, they raised them in systems that led them to possibly also be Nazis.
Well, I mean, Christians again.
Sure. So, I mean, that's not, I hate the idea of a custody battle being played out publicly, first of all. And then second of all, it being used as some sort of punitive thing.
Yeah.
Like, I would hate the idea of society treating it like, oh, Alex, all this shit you've done on the air, here's your punishment. You don't get your kids.
That's a bummer.
That's horrible. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And that, to me, like, as much as I hate Alex, I hate that standpoint way more.
Yeah.
Because that...
Here's the weirdest thing. Well, not the weirdest. This is the most novelistic thing. Nobody hates Alex Jones more than we do for more accurate reasons. At the same time right now, it feels like we're the only people who empathize with him. Because I don't think his listeners are empathizing with that. No. I think they're saying that it's a conspiracy against him.
Generally, that's the sense that I've gotten.
We may be the only people like us.
I mean, I think on one level, we might be the only people who care about him.
In
that we want to see him get the fucking death penalty for the right reasons.
I don't want to be at the death penalty.
No, that was a metaphorical speech. Yeah. I'm not telling him to fill his hand.
Listen, I'm in a weird place as a whole, but like, yeah, I think that there's a decent chance that we're the only people who have a robust, fair perspective on him. Anyway, sorry. Sorry we didn't talk about fun divorce shit, but you can go find that at every other website.
Yeah, yeah, you didn't come to us for the same shit other people have.
So to sum it up, this video will probably be taken down from the internet at some point,
if he has a good lawyer.
If anyone's smart. I think Alex might be off the air for the next few days. I would assume that his lawyers would be like, get fucking Paul Joseph Watson in there.
I would hope so.
And then Google is not trying to delist them. That's stupid. But anyway, you guys,
let me ask you a question.
Google is trying to delist knowledgefight.com.
No shit. Did we get an official letter?
Mike Cernovich told me.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
Secret sources.
Nobody breaks more truthful and more huge stories than Mike Cernovich.
You know what else they're trying to delist? Twitter.com/knowledge_fight.
Please don't ever. @knowledge_fight.
Also, they're trying to delist our Gmail account. You can reach us at knowledgefight@gmail.com.
I'm telling you right now, our subscribers are going down because of Apple. They're censoring us.
It's true.
So the only way to fight against this is to subscribe again? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Guys, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. We're super fun.
And realistically, we have actually been getting a lot of new listeners lately, and thank you and welcome aboard. But, you know, Jordan, until next time.
Are we a couple of policy wonks?
We are.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.